take that moment. Let's not lose sight. He speaks for a reason, because he loves every single person in this building today with an absolute passion. And he doesn't want anyone to resist his love and to not come to him, but not to let pride or anything else get in the way, but to say, do you know what? I want to embrace the fullness of forgiveness and love and life that there is in Jesus. And so it's my privilege to have a little bit of time to be able to talk about that and explain what Jesus has done. And then I'm going to make an invitation, and I'm going to invite you to make your own personal response. As you've heard about people who, there was a moment when they decided, I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to just know about him for myself. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him for myself. I don't want to just know that he's a God who forgives. I want to know his forgiveness myself. And so this morning, I trust that you won't just want to be a spectator who watches others and thinks that's nice for them, but you'll understand that God loves you and is knocking on the door of your heart this morning, wanting to come in and have a personal, living relationship with you. So my title is What a Difference. And I hope you've caught that a little bit, even just from the testimonies that we've heard and watching people getting baptized. I absolutely love the picture of the baptism presents that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. I absolutely love hearing people's stories, because you get a feel. Do you know what? And there's one common factor, one common denominator, and his name is Jesus. All right? Jesus is the one who changes everything. Jesus is the one that deals with the past and gives you a totally new start. And what we've heard a little bit this morning is a bit like, you know, you get the sort of before and after pictures, you know, people trying to sell you, you know, a kitchen business will go, this is what this kitchen looked like before, and then we came in and boom, oh, it's all so different. And, well, we've had a few before and after pictures, and Jesus changes everything. And the reality is, BC and AD, everything changes. Before Christ, life was totally different. And we're going to look at a few verses in Ephesians which give us that picture and help us to understand. See, baptism is a declaration and a picture of the difference that Jesus makes. And when you come to put your trust in Jesus, everything changes. Baptism is a bit of a picture of that. It's not that you were just dry and then wet. It's so much more than that. And we could list 1,000 things. I've got 4. And the first thing is, we were dirty, but now clean. And Ephesians 1 verse 7 says this, in him, that's in Jesus, we have redemption. We've been bought back through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. In Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. And you know what? That's a vital message for every person in this room today. Because you can't forgive yourself. You can't sort out the problem of sin in your own life. There's dirt in our lives. There's stuff that's not been right. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you may think, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and I'm not as bad as some of those people we hear about on the news. I'm not as bad as this. But the reality is, we are all dirty, and we can't get ourselves clean. But Jesus died on the cross and took our place so that anyone and everyone can be made clean, can be forgiven. I've got, in fact, I'm going to just nick this table here because it'll help me. Little visual aid. So here, I have 2 carefully prepared in advance, glasses of water. Ah, very good. And here, I have a whole lot of dirt. And this is what I'm going to do with the dirt. I'm Here we go. We'll do that with the dirt. And then, do you know what? I've still got a bit of dirt on my fingers. And just to get rid of that, I'll just do that. So, here we go. A little bit of the remains of the dirt in there. Lots of dirt in there. Which glass are you going to drink from? Exactly. If you're like me, you will not drink from either. All right? You're not going to go, what was that? I don't want to know, probably. Yeah, you won't drink from either because it's dirty. It may not be as dirty as the other one, but you don't want to drink a whole lot of dirt. And do you know what? God is a holy God. And you may think, well, there's only a little bit of dirt in my life. But any sin cuts us off from God because he's a holy God. And so in his love, he didn't want that. He didn't want us to be separated from him. He didn't want sin to be a barrier. He wanted us to be forgiven. And he sent Jesus so that we could be made totally clean and we could come to him. Peter put it this way. He said, for Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's you or me, whether you're more like this or more like this, to bring you to God. And John said this, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I don't want to stay like this. All like this, I want to be purified. And Jesus makes that possible. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So we were dirty, but now clean. Secondly, we were dead, but now alive. Paul goes on to say to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's the effect that sin has. It cuts us from God. It makes us dead in which you used to live. And then verse 4, he goes on to say this, but, you were dead, but because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, made us alive. We were dead, but now he's made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved. Jesus is the one that brings us alive again. You were dead, but in Jesus, you can be made alive. Now, obviously, no one here is, I don't think, unless we've had a major accident, is physically dead in this building at this moment. But this is not talking about being physically dead at this moment. This is talking about being dead to God, not being alive to him, and living apart from him with no spiritual life. That's not what he intended. He intended us to live alive to him in a living relationship with him. He doesn't want us to be dead to him, but alive to him. And Jesus has made that possible. It's why in the parable of the prodigal son, which many of you will have heard the story of, this son goes off and leaves all that his father had and went and basically squandered everything and made a mess of his life. And then when he comes back, the father runs and wraps his arms around him because he's so full of love. And this is what he says. He says, go and get the fattened calf, the one we've been saving for the most special event. Go and get it. We're going to celebrate. Why? And this is what he says. He says, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And that is what Jesus does. Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose again. And he died so that we could be forgiven and we could be made alive. And this amazing picture that we watched in baptism was of being buried with Christ so that we too might be raised with him in resurrection life. This is not about religion. This is about a living relationship with the living Almighty God. And he wants every single person in this building and every single person across this city to be alive to him, not dead to him. We were dead, but now alive. Thirdly, we were useless, but now useful. That sounds a bit strong, doesn't it? Well, this is what Paul goes on to say in Ephesians. In verse 8 he says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God." All right, Jesus has done the work. He's paid the price. You haven't got to pay any price. It's him that's paid the price. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It's not about what we didn't do in this baptism was celebrate what people had done. We were celebrating what Jesus had done. It's his work. It's his work. And then Paul goes on to say this, "For we are God's handiwork, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If I could, I would walk around and I'd look every single one of you in the eye, and so I'm going to sort of vaguely do that by doing a span across, but I can't quite catch all of your eyes. But I'd look you right in the eye and I'd say, "Do you know what? You've been created to do good works." And how do we embrace those good works? How do we fulfill our destiny? Through Jesus, through being made, coming alive to the creator of the world and being in a living relationship with him, he enables us to understand what we're here for. He gives us a power and a life to make the most of our lives. When we let him be Lord of our life, potential gets released. All that he's created you to be. And there is amazing potential in this room. Absolutely incredible potential. And one of the great things that was going on as we were watching people being baptized is they weren't just saying, "Oh, I'm so glad to be clean. Oh, I'm so glad to be forgiven." They are. "Oh, I'm so glad to have a relationship with God. But you know what? I'm so glad to offer my life to him to do whatever he wants me to do. I am his. And so now I offer myself and I'm dying to my old way of living, selfish life, and say, I'm yours, Lord. You're my Lord. And I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do, whatever you've created me to do." And so when you go in those waters, what happens? You're plunged into the water and massive ripples. I want to say to you, each of you have been baptized. Statement you're making, praise God for the goodness that God's done in your life. But you know what? It's just the beginning. And there's all sorts of ripples, all sorts of people that are going to be affected by the decision you've made to give your life to him. And as you allow him to work in you and you remain alive to him, there's no limit to what he can do. It's why when Jesus came to the fishermen, he said, "Come follow me. And I'll make you not fishermen, I'll make you fishers of men." In other words, he lifted their sights and said, "I've got amazing things. I want you to be involved in changing people's lives because that's the business that I'm in. And I'm inviting you to come and be my co-workers, to work with me." And that's what he invites us to do. It's why Paul wrote to Philemon. And he wrote about Philemon's slave who was called Onesimus. And we get the feeling that Philemon's slave was a bit of a pain. And eventually, not only was he a pain, he ran off and left him. But when he ran off, he encountered Paul, heard the gospel, understood that Jesus had died for him. Not only for his forgiveness, but that he could become who he was made to be. And then Paul says this. He says, "Formerly..." And it's a bit of a play on words because Onesimus means useful. And when talking about Onesimus, Paul says, "Formerly, he was useless to you." I.e., before Christ, he was useless to you. But now, he's become both useful to you and me. He's become his name. He's become who he was always meant to be. How's it happened? Through Jesus. "We were dirty, but now clean. We were dead, but now alive. We were useless, but now useful. And finally, we were excluded, but now included." What an amazing privilege. The story is told of some Second World War soldiers who ended up in a skirmish somewhere around sort of Belgian-French border, and one of their comrades and friends got killed. Skirmish finished, and they didn't just want to leave their friend, but they wanted to find a way of burying their friend in an appropriate way. And so they were carrying him, looking for somewhere to be able to bury him and honor him in some appropriate way. And they came across this cemetery. And so they thought, oh, mate, this is the ideal place. And they found the priest who was responsible for it and said, can we bury our friend here? And he said, well, is he a Catholic? And the guys go, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. And the priest said, I'm really sorry. This is just for those that are Catholics. And they were a bit distraught. Oh, didn't know what to do, looking around. And eventually they thought, well, the best thing we can do is we can't bury him in this graveyard. We'll bury it beside it. It's nice. We'll just bury him as close as we can. And so as nightfall began to come, they went back to the cemetery, and just outside of the cemetery, they created their own, as best they could, little burial ground and created a grave, and they buried him there. And then it was dark, and they couldn't really quite finish the job. So the following morning, they went back to try and make it as nice as they possibly could. And when they got back, to their horror, they couldn't find it. They were like, where is it? We were sure we buried him here. And they thought, well, maybe we got it wrong. They walked around the fence, around on the side of the cemetery, no sign. What's happened? And then the priest that they met the previous day came up and said, can I help you? I said, well, we buried our friend. We understood he couldn't be buried in but we buried him as close to it as we could. We were sure it's here, but he's not. And he said, no. He said, I watched what you did last night. And I felt sorry for what I'd said. And I thought, that can't be like that. So he said, so after you'd gone, I came and I moved the fence. And so actually, his grave is now inside our cemetery. It's on this side of the fence. And do you know what? Jesus hasn't just, it's in a picture in some ways, Jesus hasn't just moved a fence. He's removed the fence. He's broken down the walls. There are no more walls. And this is how Paul puts it to the Ephesians. He says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. In other words, it was pretty bleak. We were excluded from anything and everything, from God, from hope, from being part of the people of God. But there's another but here. As Paul says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, Jew and Gentile, that is, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, one of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put them to death. We were excluded, but now included. I think up on the screen is going to go a very, very basic diagram of the temple in Jesus' day. Now, this is in very basic form. You can see in brackets, simplified. But it gives us a picture, because you can see that on the outside is the court of the Gentiles. And that was as far as they could go. In fact, there was, on the next way in, there was a sign saying, Gentiles, if you enter into here, you can expect to be punished by death. This was pretty strong. This is what it was like for Jews and Gentiles. There was no way in. And then you had the court of the women, and then you had the court of Israel, and then you had the priest court, and you had the temple building in the most center. And basically, before Jesus, one high priest could enter in to the very temple building where the presence of God was once a year because of all sorts of sacrifices. And there were all these other barriers and all these walls, but after Jesus, all the walls are broken down. There are no more walls. There's no, I can only go this far. Every single one of us, Jew and Gentile, old and young, man and woman, can enter in through Jesus. We're no longer excluded, we're included. We're not excluded from relationship with God, and we're not excluded from the people of God. We become part of his family. It's an amazing privilege. And just as we say that, it's probably worth me saying that this morning, we've not especially focused on it because there have been lots of baptisms, etc. But this morning is Adoption Sunday. I don't know whether you knew that. It's an opportunity. You could take any Sunday, but it's an opportunity to mark something. And maybe we'll take an opportunity to do it more fully at another time. But I just want to say this morning, I love the fact that there are people in our church family who are expressing the heart of God of inclusion, not exclusion, by giving themselves to adoption and fostering and working with safe families and being, say, do you know what? We want to express the heart and love of God, and we want to give people that seemingly had no opportunity and no chance, a new chance, a new opportunity. And do you know what? It's a testimony to the gospel. It's an expression of God's goodness, and I love it. And there may be a number of people here. I've definitely seen that Laura's here this morning and Miriam is here this morning. And just want to say, we absolutely love what you guys are doing. And we're cheering you on. We think it's an amazing testimony of what God's grace is doing. There may be others here this morning that I haven't quite seen who are fostering or in some ways playing some part. And we just want to say, what a fantastic thing. Because in God's kingdom and in God's love, he doesn't want there to be any more walls. There's a way in for everyone, and we're able to express that. We're invited to be part of one big family. And so I'm going to ask the musicians if they would like to come back up. And as they do, I want to ask that question, basically. Has it just been nice to watch others to be baptized and go, that's nice for them? But God's spoken prophetically already, and I believe it's for a reason. It's because he doesn't want anyone to be on the outside looking in. He wants everyone to come in. And this morning, we are going to make that invitation that in his love, God wants to bring you alive. You may be aware of sin and stuff in your life. You are dirty, but you want to be made clean. And today is your day to make that choice. You may be aware that actually, you've never really been alive to God. You've not known what it means to have a living relationship with him. But today you want to embrace that living relationship with him and come alive to him. You may be aware that you're not really fulfilling all your God-given potential and destiny. Jesus wants to unlock that and help you fulfill that destiny. And he wants to say, do you know what? I don't want you to be on the outside. I want you to be on the inside of a living relationship with me and part of my family, God's people. And this morning we would love to welcome you as you make that choice, and we will celebrate with you just like the father of the prodigal son. So I'm going to ask if we could stand together if we're able, and we're going to begin to sing again. And I have a little booklet here. I've got a number of them called Why Jesus, and it basically is just a very simple little booklet that explains how we can know Jesus for ourselves, be alive to him, be completely forgiven. And at the back of the booklet, there's a little prayer. And it's a prayer that just enables you to make your own personal response to him. And I've asked this morning one or two people from within the church family, I've given them a little booklet. And I've asked that as we begin to sing and as I invite people to come forward, they would maybe just come and stand at the front as part of God's family, as a readiness to welcome others and to come alongside others who say, I want to make that decision. I want to come to Jesus. I want to be forgiven. I want to be made alive to him. And in some ways, it's not easy to walk out to the front. But I don't want to pretend that living for Jesus is always easy. It's amazing. And what he's done is incredible. But now he asks us to live for him and nail our colors to the mast and be unashamed. And this morning, I'm inviting you not only to receive his forgiveness, but to accept him as Lord and say, yes, I want to live for you. And so as we begin to sing together this now, maybe you would like to make that decision today. Today could be your day where everything changes, to come alive to Jesus and to know him. And so as we sing this song, would you come and stand at the front? And as you come and stand, then there will be others here who will be able to pray with you and help you start that journey. And we as a church family will be cheering you on and celebrating the goodness of God. So when you're ready, you come. You come and stand. Come and make your way. Just come somewhere in this area at the front. That'd be great. Let's begin to sing. Jesus.